The question in this case is whether a foreign state's immunity from suit under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, or FSIA, extends to current and former officials acting in their official capacity on behalf of the foreign state. The FSIA provides presumptive immunity to foreign states, with certain exceptions that are spelled out in the statute. That the immunity of foreign states codified by the FSIA encompasses current and former officials is proved by the text, history, and purposes of the Act, and accords with international law. Finding that the FSIA does not cover current and former officials acting in their official capacity would create a loophole that would undermine the Act. Plaintiffs could sue foreign officials rather than the foreign state itself in U.S. courts. Such suits could reach core aspects of policymaking by present and former cabinet-level officials of close U.S. allies and subject those officials to civil suit by private plaintiffs in U.S. courts. As the large majority of circuits in the United States and virtually all courts around the world have held, permitting suits against current or former foreign officials for acts taken in their official capacity would render sovereign immunity ineffective, creating a system whereby plaintiffs could circumvent sovereign immunity by suing the officials who acted for the foreign state. Holding individuals outside the scope of the FSIA would place the United States at odds with international law as construed by courts of leading foreign jurisdictions. Such a ruling would also lead foreign states to reciprocate by denying immunity to U.S. officers who acted in their official capacity, with predictably damaging consequences. Construing the immunity of a foreign state to encompass officials of that state for acts in their official capacity was a well-established principle of U.S. common law, applied by courts and recognized in the Second Restatement before the enactment of the FSIA in 1976. During the 1940s, U.S. courts began to give near-complete deference to the executive branch in sovereign immunity determinations. The United States adopted the restrictive theory of sovereign immunity, whereby foreign states were immune for their public, sovereign acts, but not for their private, commercial acts. Yet deference to executive branch discretion in determining sovereign immunity proved to be troublesome in the ensuing decades, as the State Department faced intense and direct pressure from foreign countries and could not adopt transparent and fair procedures to determine immunity. The process vexed U.S. foreign relations and resulted in inconsistent determinations. In many instances, the executive branch made no determination at all, leaving courts to look to prior determinations and principles. Congress enacted the FSIA in 1976 at the request of the executive branch. The text and the legislative history of the FSIA make clear that one of the chief purposes of the Act was to remove determinations of immunity from the executive branch and place them with the courts, which were to make those determinations based on the statutorily mandated rules, with specific and explicit exceptions. As the Supreme Court noted in Permanent Mission of India, another well-known purpose of the Act was to codify the international law of sovereign immunity at the time of enactment. That international law included, as it does today, immunity for foreign officials acting in their official capacity. In providing presumptive immunity to foreign states, the Act defines the term state in part by noting that it includes an agency or instrumentality of the foreign state. The use of the term includes is meant to be illustrative and non-exclusive, particularly since, when Congress refers to an exclusive definition in the very next subsection, it uses the word means. Congress included specific reference to agencies and instrumentalities because, at the time, there was a dispute as to whether sovereign immunity included immunity for those entities. By contrast, there was never any dispute over whether sovereign immunity encompassed individual officials acting in their official capacities. Congress enacted the FSIA against that backdrop of long-standing common law on the subject, which extended sovereign immunity to current and former officials for their official acts. The FSIA should be read with the presumption favoring common law principles. Construing it to exclude officials acting in their official capacity would countermand the international law and common law principles that the FSIA was intended to incorporate. Accordingly, the vast majority of circuit courts to consider the question have found that the FSIA applies to foreign officials for their official acts. The Torture Victim Protection Act does not abrogate immunity under the FSIA. The TVPA creates a cause of action, but it must be read in harmony with existing immunity rules. Congress appended the TVPA to the Alien Tort Statute, which the Supreme Court held in Argentine Republic v. Emirata Hess, to be subject to all provisions in the FSIA, including the FSIA's exclusive exceptions to immunity. By contrast, when Congress meant to waive FSIA immunity for certain acts, including torture, by state sponsors of terrorism, it amended the FSIA to create an exception to immunity. The legislative history of the TVPA also demonstrates that TVPA claims are subject to restrictions in the FSIA. The FSIA's exceptions to immunity, such as for waiver of immunity by the foreign state, apply to TVPA claims and permit TVPA claims under those circumstances. That an alleged act by a foreign official violates a so-called jus cogens norm does not create an exception to FSIA immunity. The court held in Emirata Hess that the FSIA's express exceptions were exclusive. Congress provided no jus cogens exception in the act. Furthermore, permitting a jus cogens exception to official immunity in civil suits would violate international law, which requires such immunity. Respondents rely on domestic immunity law to argue that suits against officials do not amount to a suit against the state when the official's actions exceeded limits imposed by controlling law. Yet that sort of inquiry is precisely what foreign sovereign immunity prohibits. U.S. courts are not the ultimate arbiters of the controlling law of other nations, and the premise of foreign sovereign immunity is that one nation may not judge the acts of another. In contrast to respondents, the government as amicus seeks to undo the FSIA by obtaining for itself discretion over determinations of sovereign immunity for foreign officials. It would thereby create a senseless, bifurcated regime of sovereign immunity, one part under the FSIA determined by courts, and one part subject to the discretion of executive branch officials. The situation would be worse than the inconsistent, confusing regime that harmed U.S. foreign relations and led the executive branch itself to ask Congress to pass the FSIA in the first place and take discretion out of its hands. Courts around the world have extended sovereign immunity to current and former foreign officials for their official acts. Indeed, the UK and Canada have interpreted sovereign immunity statutes that were passed within a few years of the FSIA and also do not explicitly encompass individual officials acting in their official capacity to include those officials in the definition of the statutory term state. The Charming Betsy canon requires U.S. courts to construe federal statutes wherever possible not to violate international law. Courts in Canada and the UK and the UK government have maintained, properly, that withholding immunity from foreign officials for their official acts would violate international law. Immunity from civil suit for foreign officials for acts conducted in their official capacity does not foreclose other tools for accountability, such as diplomatic action and criminal prosecution. In certain contexts, such as torture and genocide, U.S. criminal law allows for prosecution of foreign officials for certain acts committed abroad, but in such cases the laws are based on international agreements, and criminal prosecution also requires initiation by the forum states, unlike civil suits, whereby the actions of private plaintiffs can affect U.S. foreign relations. The court should uphold that system of international comity and the language, purposes, and history of the FSIA by holding that the FSIA encompasses foreign officials acting in their official capacity.